Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. This morning, just to prep you for my message, we are going to tackle Deuteronomy chapter 4, a critical moment in the Old Testament. Moses and Aaron. Joshua was there too. Dear friends, is the church about an institution? Or is the church about a movement? You know how institutions work. They're helpful. They bless us in our life. Institutions do the dirty work. They make sure that there's organization and there's structure. That's important. Organizations also figure out budgets and take care of planning. That's really important. Just to get here to this day, we're all gathered here this morning, there's a lot of, the institution of the church has really helped us out. Think about calling a pastor. There's a lot of hard work that goes on with a committee and council to make that happen. First of all, a call committee is formed, and then a congregational self-study is performed to find out where a congregation is at. Then candidates are given to the call committee, and they comb through them. Some of you went through this when I came, and 5 years ago, you went through that process, and you interviewed the candidates, and somehow you just came to my name, and you said, oh, you know, that's the guy that we're going to call to be pastor. There's a lot of institutional work that happened to make that happen. I'm a product of the institution. I went to seminary. I got Greek and Hebrew training and all those good things, 4 years in St. Louis. I love the institution. And institution brings us to where we're at today. Our council here at Peace does a ton of work. As I start off this morning, if you are on the council at Peace, raise your hand. Okay. Lots of people here. Friends, they do a lot of planning and budgeting and putting things forward in our church that's a rich blessing. And you know what? None of them are paid. None of them are paid. But here's the amazing thing. They're not paid and they keep coming back month after month after month in the meetings. That's amazing. And when we see planning and budgeting happening and we see organization and structure, we say, that's good. The institution is good. That's a blessing to us, and it truly is indeed. But you know, friends, the church is also a movement. It has a cause that started it, that captured hearts and the passions of people. Jesus, when he came, was about that movement. And Jesus didn't have buildings to call people to and, hey, come down to 3504 Jerusalem Way and we're going to hang out for a while. Didn't have that. Jesus didn't have a lot of structure. He didn't have a budget. Luke's gospel actually says, it's a little passing, I think it's Luke's chapter 7, says that Jesus lived off the means of some ladies and a few individuals to move about, and that was taken care of. Jesus was about a cause, and I don't want to share what that cause was. I'm just going to let Jesus tell it to you this morning. Jesus said this, the Son of Man has come so that the lost may be found. In another place, Jesus said, here's the cause. Jesus said, a doctor goes out not to those that are healthy, but he goes out to those who are sick. And Jesus said, I have come not for the righteous, but I have come to call sinners into repentance. Not my words, that's Jesus. That's the cause. And Jesus was about the cause in his life. When he went out into towns, he went out to those who were out on the fringes, and he brought them in. And he forgave their sins. When he saw people that had sinned, he forgave them on the spot and brought them in. Even when he was on the cross, see, Jesus was about the cause. That's the thing. Jesus looked to the man right next to him and said, I'm here, and although you've sinned, I'm opening up paradise for you. Even on the cross, Jesus was about the cause. There were no organizational charts Jesus had. He pulled them out and said, here's my plan. He didn't do that. There wasn't a lot of budgeting. And you see, a lot of people jumped in to the movement. They jumped in. The lost were found. Those that were broken were being healed. And that was a powerful thing. That's why I became a pastor, the cause. The movement. God is at work bringing people closer to him, drawing people closer to God. Well, this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 4, friends, we reach a critical moment in the Old Testament. Here's what's happening. Here's the background of this text, Deuteronomy chapter 4. One generation of leadership, Moses, Miriam, his sister, Aaron, they're older now at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy, by the way, means second law. It's literally a time to codify, to put together all the things that have happened up to this point. And so this generation is figuring out what is important to pass on to the next generation. And here in this text, you can see a bright-eyed Joshua sitting underneath Moses, taking everything in, thinking about what would become next, what was important to hang on to. And at this point in Deuteronomy chapter 4, there were a lot of institutional things to pass on to the young Joshua and his generation. Here are some of those things that Moses had that were really important to the people, and I think they were to be passed on. One thing was organization. There were 12 tribes. The people were organized by tribes, and people would say, oh, I'm with Reuben. Another person would say, I'm with Dan over there in the left-hand corner. That's where I hang out. There was structure that Joshua received. And there were items that they were given. Think about some of these items that were being passed on. There was the Ark of the Covenant. How awesome and what a special thing that was. Anyone ever seen Indiana Jones? What's in the Ark of the Covenant? Inside the Ark of the Covenant are the tablets of Moses on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. Inside is also a staff, Aaron's rod, that bloomed and did amazing things, and a pot of manna from the wilderness. These are institutional things Moses is handing off. There were priests, there were sacrifices, there was even the structure of a tabernacle. That was being passed on potentially to the next generation. Institutional things, great things. But friends, I believe, as I look at this text and studied it, I believe that what God wanted to pass on most of all was that he was a part of a movement. That God was starting a movement in one generation, and that he'd continue that movement in the next. So they're gathered together. God was at work in Moses' generation. Think about the things that happened in Moses' generation. Moses and the Israelites didn't even know God in the beginning. They didn't even know. They didn't even know who he was. The only God they knew was Pharaoh. Pharaoh said things and they listened to Pharaoh. God went to work and moved. He showed himself to Moses in the burning bush and said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm going to be personal to you, Moses. When this generation was in trouble at the Red Sea, they couldn't go forward, they couldn't go back. The mightiest army in the world was right behind them. Moses didn't know what to do. God went to work and moved in that moment in a powerful way. He parted the sea and provided a path for the Israelites to go through. And when the Israelites went to Egypt, They left Egypt, went into the wilderness. They got stuck and they started to grumble. They talked about the pistachios back in Egypt. It's in the Bible. Check it out. They were excited about the pistachios and cucumbers. Anyone like pistachios? That's why they wanted to go back to Egypt. They missed those pistachios. You know, stuck in the wilderness, they wanted to go back. They didn't have food. You see, God was at work. God was on the move. He wanted to do something with these people. He had plans for them. God intervened and gave manna, and he gave them food to get them through the way. See, God was at work. He was about a movement with the Israelites. And as Joshua was starry-eyed and looking up, he was realizing, God wants me. God's going to work in the next generation. And he's going to work in my life and move in my life in new ways. And that's a beautiful thing here at Peace, is that's what we're up to. We're actually a part of a movement. We're not just passing down an institution to people. We're passing on a movement. God is at work to heal hearts that are broken, to bring forgiveness to those who need it, to fix those that are broken. So when we gather with our Sunday school next Sunday, we're starting a movement. We're sharing with those children. This is what we're sharing with them. God is going to move in your life just as he's moved in my life. That's powerful. And God will do it. That's the cause. Any of you ever been a part of a cause or a movement? Anybody? A social movement of any kind? Yeah? Oh, we got a revolutionary. Nancy Chapel. Nice. You know, when I was thinking about that, have you ever been a part of a movement? I think the first movement that I was a part of was in fifth grade. Jason Wagner was the most popular person in fifth grade, and he was really cool because his parents had a hot tub in the backyard. That was cool, yeah. And he was running for president of fifth grade. And I wasn't really popular, I wasn't unpopular, but you see, of all people, this guy Jason came to me and said, I want you to be my secretary. We're going to take over Hamlin Elementary. It's going to be great. It's going to be a movement. I felt special. Then I heard the cause. Now, wait a minute. This is where it gets really special. He said, our cause is this. We are going to get rid of brown meat and gravy forever from the lunch menu. And we're going to negotiate to get more time for recess from the teachers. When he gave me that cause, I thought we were going to take over the world. And I thought the next step was we were going to be on the front steps of the White House. That, you know, when you're a part of a cause that nobody else knows about, it's a grassroots, man, does it feel special. Let me bring Deuteronomy 4 to life to you. Joshua was hearing the cause. God was laying it out there. Joshua, I've worked powerfully in Moses' life and Miriam and Aaron's. I'm going to work powerfully in your life as well. But here's the point for you, friends of peace. Out of all the people that God could choose in the world, God has spoken into your heart. And he's chosen you to be about his cause. And his movement right here in Philomath, right here at peace. He's whispering to you, hey, I've got a plan to take over the world. Hey, when you gather out in the narthex and talk to another, that's not just a little conversation. In fact, you're about the cause. You're bringing grace into that person's heart. Hey, you know when you come forward for the Lord's Supper and receive the body and blood of Jesus? You're about my movement. See, I'm bringing grace to you to spread out into the community. That's powerful. So we're about the movement. Hey, when you have Sunday school and you bring kids, it's about sharing with them that God's going to work and move in their life and bring grace through Jesus Christ to them. You know, institution and a movement. I actually want to say I'm a fan of both. Really, they're both important. But what we must remember is the movement is really important, isn't it? You know, I met this last week with a bunch of pastors from Oregon and Idaho and Alaska and Washington. And the question was asked about ministry in all these four states. This was the question. What are the struggles in ministry today with these pastors? And you know, as they listed them off, we made a list of all the challenges. There were things like this. Buildings are in disrepair. Human resources are challenging. There's lots of challenges with leadership, these sorts of things. How are we going to navigate those sorts of things? And the look on all the pastors' faces was kind of gloomy for a second. Then someone raised their hand and said this. They said this about the list that was made. You know, none of those items are about the movement that God is about. You realize that? The institution may struggle, but the movement, what God is up to, will never struggle. And it will be as powerful as it is in this generation, my friends, as it will in a generation to come, as in a generation to come down the road. Make it known, my friends, to your children and to your children's children. I'm up to something, God says, and it's going to come to that next generation no matter what. You know, friends, the institutional things that Moses had, one last thought, they're all gone. They don't exist. None of them. As powerful as they were. The 12 tribes of Israel. No one raises their hand today and say, man, I'm a part of Reuben. Does anyone say that? I don't think so. Maybe John Leach, but nobody else. Does anyone say, hey, let's go down to the tabernacle and worship God? Nobody says that. That institution's gone. Does anyone say, hey, let's open up the Ark of the Covenant, check out the Ten Commandments inside, and Aaron's staff? How awesome would that be? Now, it did appear in Indiana Jones, that's true, but since that movie, it's been lost again, apparently. See, my friends, in Luther's day, the institutions were crumbling too. A lot of those institutions aren't here from Luther's day in the 16th century. But friends, the movement of God is here. And it will be here in 100 years, in 200 years. It's relevant and it will be effective. And friends, here's the best thing. God's asking you to be a part, to be his secretary, and share with everyone that you know that he's at work and he's on the move, fixing the broken, uplifting those who are downtrodden, bringing Jesus and grace to all. You're in the movement. Amen. Let's pray. God, what a powerful moment that was in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we're really right there too, Lord. And we thank you that your movement is what it's all about, grace, and how you are up to things like bringing life out of death. Work that in us this week and throughout our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.